Good afternoon, we'll reconvene the hearing. Just to please, we've got you at the right time now.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes.
Sorry about that.
No apologies, that was actually our fault. Cool. So we're here today to present some evidence on behalf of Genlake Limited in relation to building height in the Wanaka Town Centre. And on my right, I have Steve Norman, who is the director of Genlake Limited and the owner of 28 Howick Street, which is one part where the submission comes from. And I've also got Miss Louise Wright, who's an architect with Assembly Architects, presenting architecture design evidence on behalf of Genlake Limited. So I suggest we start with Miss Wright's evidence, and then questions for Miss Wright, and then I'll follow, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
Good afternoon. My name's Louise Wright. I am a registered architect and design director of Assembly Architects Limited. I'm here today presenting expert architect evidence on behalf of Genlake Limited, Submitter 240, who has also engaged us to consider development options for 28 Howard Street, the old Wanaka police station. My primary evidence has been pre-circulated in accordance with the directions of hearings chairman. My evidence covers architectural analysis of potential buildings resulting under three height limit scenarios based upon the current height limit in the town centre of 8 metres to E and 10 metres to the ridgeline, or 8 to 10 metres, the proposed Wanaka height precinct of 12 to 14 metres, and also an intermediate level of 10 to 12 metres. I also considered the wider urban implications of the proposed district plan Wanaka Height Precinct in the town centre and including Howick Street in the Wanaka Height Precinct. My assessment of building heights demonstrate that under the various height limitations, development quality varies depending on how many stories are fit under the height limit. I identified characteristics of a quality building, including generous floor-to-floor levels, street level or retail level floor height of 3.5 metres, and also space to allow for the articulation of roof form and variation in building elevations. The height limits can allow for more levels of lower quality or fewer levels of higher quality. I concluded that in terms of building height, 10 to 12 metres height is sufficient to allow for a quality three-storey building, with the 12 to 14 metre Wanaka height precinct affording more scope for roof shape and articulation, for example, gabled roofs, or up to four-storey development. Howick Street is the main retail street and is a gateway to the town and lake from Brownson Street. In my opinion, the street there should have a consistent height limit along its length within the bounds of the town centre. This gives the street improved hierarchy and legibility in the town centre and affords a better chance of achieving consistency of floor levels and building elements such as street canopies. My evidence demonstrated bulk shading effects of 8 to 10 metre development and 12 to 14 metre development applied to Howick Street, shown at midday on both June the 25th and December 25th, so that's the winter and summer solstice. Further to that evidence, Ms. Vicky Jones requested we provide supplementary diagrams that I table for you now. So that's what's just been handed out. So Assembly Architects Limited prepared diagrams demonstrating three height scenarios along Howick Street, 8 to 10 metres, 10 to 12 metres and 12 to 14 metres at both 11th of July and 11th of August. So the first page is July the 11th at 8 to 10 metres, taken at 12:30 p.m. Second page is July the 11th on 10 to 12 metres, again at 12:30 p.m. Third page is July the 11th, 12 to 14 metres at 12:30. A summary of the July, and then the same again taken on August the 11th. So the 8 to 10, the 10 to 12, and the 12 to 14, and a summary of the August. I understand Ms Jones and Mr Church from Council have now recommended creating a second height precinct in Wanaka of 10 metres to the eave and 12 metres to the ridge for those sites fronting Howard Street, as shown in Appendix 2 of Ms Jones' further evidence presented at this hearing. Upon review of this information, I support this position as it allows for three stories of development with sufficient height to support quality architectural outcomes. While the height limits are still not consistent to the entirety of Howard Street, the majority is consistent, except for the perimeter block at Ardmore Street. Therefore, an improved hierarchy is achieved for Howard Street. The end.
Yes, thank you. Shading diagrams, mm-hmm. the methodology you've used for the shading diagrams,
yes.
is that the same as what Mr Church used?
I don't know what Mr Church has used.
Right.
So we created these in our Revit software program, and it's connected with Google Earth to get the correct sun angles for the location. And we ourselves have modelled these indicative buildings, which are building blocks of 8 metres to the eave, if you like, and then, say, a gabled or shaped roof of a further 2 metres. So the indicative building blocks of that height applied to, actually, to, I think, quite a flat ground plane across Howard Street, and then the shade is applied to those.
Yep. And what was the name you used again, the name of the model?
Revit. R-E-V-I-T.
All right. If we take the first example of the 8 to 10.
Yes.
That you've got maximised, so that assumes fully utilised.
Mm.
And then your...
It's maximised in height, but what we haven't done is we haven't taken into consideration any other rules such as site coverage. So the actual site coverage shown on here might be 100% of the site.
I see.
Whereas in the proposed district plan, I think it might be less. So this potentially is shown as more mass than is achievable.
Right, so it's just concentrating on height, isn't it?
Correct.
Nothing else. It's maximising height and assumed complete 100% coverage.
Correct.
Right. Okay. Given that, so in terms of looking at these diagrams, should we be thinking that these diagrams represent a conservative or an extreme outcome?
Well, for the time of year that they're taken, if you look at the July and, well, from June through to July, June the 25th, I suppose, through to July, they represent, if you like, the worst case scenario for shading of the street.
But given that you haven't made allowances for site utilisation and setbacks and things of that sort, I would be thinking that I should look at these diagrams as an extreme representation.
Yes.
Not a conservative one, an extreme one.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Okay. The essence of your evidence, as I've understood it, is that by choosing an appropriate height level, that can provide the opportunity for better design in terms of the actual levels that can be achieved under that height. That's the core thrust of it?
Correct, yeah.
All right. So would you be concerned to see then, given your interest in the architectural outcome, that the plan provisions actually direct how or provide in some way for the allocation of height of each floor within the maximum level?
I think guidance on the ground floor levels is appropriate, and that's currently in the Wanaka design guidelines.
Yep.
particularly for the retail floor levels. Going beyond that, it's probably is getting quite prescriptive to dictate floor heights, and it can depend upon what the use is. You know, we've just seen some new standards coming out about seismic depth for, or seismic separation for elements such as air conditioning ducts. Now that's going to be quite important moving forward, especially following the earthquakes. And so if heights were going to be set, it would have to be done quite carefully.
Okay.
I probably wouldn't advocate it.
You probably wouldn't advocate it? No. Okay. And I was just intrigued in your principal evidence, at paragraph 20, you just expressed a concern about having a mix of three or four storey buildings constructed, that the outcome may result in an inconsistent floor level among neighbouring buildings.
Yes. Yes, it's not so much, it is, you know, if you take a street like, for example, Blair Street in Wellington or Lower Cuba Street, the windows sort of align along the street, and it does give quite a consistency and order to the street. And then things like the street canopies. My concern is really that if someone's trying to squeeze three storeys into a low height limit or four storeys into that lower height limit, you'd end up with quite mean, you know, street canopies, and then a mix of, I suppose, generous and mean buildings along the street for the streetscape.
Right.
Okay. I wasn't really suggesting that you might get connection between buildings, although that's also possible if you do have contiguous floor levels.
Right. So does that emphasise the point of having some reference to appropriate levels for at least the first floor?
Yes. Yes, correct. Yeah. I think generally streets that do have consistent floor levels, there is, you know, sort of better order to the street, sort of visually tidier too.
All right, thank you.
Really, only one question. Mr. Green's evidence suggests the amount of time that it may take for these buildings to develop, and you gave us a really good figure number three, which was what were the new and the older buildings along the street.
Yes.
Thank you. In your opinion, given there is such a mix of new and old buildings, if we're looking at, you know, stepping up that height to another level, I guess what's the impact of having one or two of those buildings come pop up quite a long time before the other buildings? And do you see that that's going to, and then architecture changes and all that kind of thing, and is that going to create problems going forward?
Yeah, there definitely is the potential that that will happen. I guess what I can also see happening is developers not developing their sites until they reach a point where it's more feasible to, or more economic for them to develop them to a greater level. And so that's some of the options that I've looked at for number 28. You know, it takes, for example, when you're developing a commercial building, once you're at two stories, you're into fire engineering, structural engineering, access and egress requirements that are the same for going up to three levels. So it's sort of more economic, if you like, to do three than it is to do two levels. So there definitely would be, I guess, visually would be blank side walls could be an impact of having a three-storey building be constructed next to, for example, a single-storey building. But you may also get development happening more quickly if there is a greater economic limit, if you like, to do so.
Thank you. Just in terms of the discussion around height versus the number of stories, would you recommend either way in terms of how we deal with that? So suggesting one or the other or both is the way to go?
I suppose if it's the Wanaka height precinct height, at any particular height? You're talking about?
Any particular height. It's just how we articulate it between the floors, the number of floors versus the actual number of metres high.
I think the number of the number of floors probably should be limited if you are having a height limit, to prevent those more mean floors squishing in there.
And then just use the design guidelines to help with the first floor, which would then restrict the rest of them.
Yeah, and I think the design guidelines could go forward to talk about the upper levels too. And they, I think, already do suggest roof articulation and shape and things like that. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I understood. I'm just checking that I've got my understanding correct here. You felt that at certain levels the number of floors should be limited so as to stop the sort of squashed in extra floor. Is that, am I understanding that right?
Correct. So I think the floor height thing works. If, for example, you have this more squashed floors, that works well on smaller streets or lanes in kind of precinct areas within the town centre. For example, Searle Lane in Queenstown, where there are four-storey buildings, but you're quite close to those. The lane is only, 5 metres wide, and so it doesn't feel like they're too out of scale to the street. However, on the scale of Howick Street, which is a big, it's a very wide street, I think it would be a more appropriate size for the buildings to have more generous floor levels and have that height, but with the relatively high floor levels.
And so at the 10 to 12, what would be, in your view, the appropriate floor?
That would be three stories.
And just following on from the answer you gave to Commissioner Lawson's first question, in your experience, commercial architecture in other parts of the country, does the construction of one site up to the limits encourage other developers to then follow suit?
Don't think I could answer that evidentially.
No, that's okay.
But I would think so, yes. Mm. Yeah. I couldn't give you an example of
that. Does a seed
yes.
then develop a forest?
That's right. It would be great for the street to have an anchor project, that you knew was going to go ahead, and then, perhaps others would look at that as an example. Ardmore Street might be used as an example of how the height along there has developed.
Yes, now that you've mentioned Ardmore Street and you were talking about the differing levels, I take it that Ardmore Street, in your view, is one of the poor examples.
Well, that has its own challenges with the tide. So, that's just an example of there's a physical challenge for that strip being, and I understand it would go up the street too, where it's a balance of how to manage that tide as well as provide good accessibility for people to connect into those buildings. Yep. So yeah, it doesn't provide for a great streetscape along Ardmore Street, but you have along Howick Street, and particularly Upper Howick Street, a good opportunity to create a streetscape without those significant barriers.
Thank you. No, thank you, Ms.
Wright. Thank you. My name is Ian Greaves. I'm a planning consultant with Southern Planning Group, and I'm here today presenting expert planning evidence on behalf of Gem Lake Limited. My primary evidence has been pre-circulated in accordance with the directions of the hearings chairman. My evidence covers discrete points relating to the provisions of maximum building height in the Wanaka Town Centre, the PDP. Gem Lake Limited sought that the proposed Wanaka Town Centre height precinct is expanded to include the Wanaka Town Centre zone of Howard Street on both sides of the road. My evidence also discusses the effectiveness and efficiency of Rule 13.5.8 as a general height limit for the Wanaka Town Centre. I question whether Rule 13.5.8 provides an appropriate building envelope to achieve good three-storey design outcomes based on the design evidence, and therefore fails to achieve those policies of the PDP enabling three-storey buildings and those which encourage good urban design outcomes within the zone. I also do not consider that the non-complying status of Rule 13.5.8 is appropriate given its relationship to the following policy that states, provide for consideration of minor height infringements where they help achieve higher quality design outcomes and do not significantly adversely affect amenity values. In my view, a non-compliant consent status for a building height breach on the basis of the office policy wording is not efficient or effective. Whilst my opinion on this matter remains unchanged, I understand there may be scope. It may be a question of scope around these changes on the basis of the Gem Lake submission, and I therefore do not intend to examine this further. In terms of the Wanaka Height Precinct, it is my opinion that there is sound design and planning reasons to incentivise greater building height limits in the town centre zone of Howick Street. Howick Street acts as an important gateway into the Wanaka Town Centre and is the town's central retail space. By incentivising greater building heights along Howick Street over time, will provide greater emphasis on the street hierarchy within the Wanaka Town Centre by better defining Howick Street as the central retail space and making this area more legible. It will also strengthen the view shaft down Howick Street, emphasising its gateway into the town centre and strengthening the town centre's link to the lakefront. Ms Jones and Mr Church for the council have now recommended creating a second height precinct in Wanaka and applying this to those sites fronting Howick Street, as shown in Appendix 2 of Ms Jones' further evidence presented at this hearing. Upon review of this information, I support this position. A height limit of 12 metres to the ridge line and 10 metres to the eave line, with a further restriction to 3 storeys for all buildings fronting Howick Street and the Wanaka Town Centre, in my opinion, is an appropriate building height response for Howick Street. A 10 to 12 metre height limit provides a sufficient building envelope to achieve good 3-storey building design with space for roof articulation and sufficient ceiling floor level heights, as we've heard from Ms. Wright today. The extent of any effects in terms of views, dominance and shading, in my opinion, will not be significant in the context of the commercial centre and a district plan that encourages investment in lifting the scope and the quality and attractiveness of buildings within central business areas in this district. View shafts through the town centre and views from the Wanaka lakefront will be maintained. Following the completion of my primary evidence and at the request of Ms Jones, who prepared the Council Section 42A report, further shading models in relation to 3 height scenarios for Howick Street have been provided by Ms Wright. These have been presented as part of Ms Wright's evidence today. The shading diagrams produced by Ms Wright confirms a 10 to 12 metre height limit will not create significant shading effects over and above the 8 to 10 metre height limit, particularly on the western footpath of Howick Street during the winter months. To give effect to the new height precinct, I consider that a minor amendment to policy 13.2.3.1 is necessary to recognise the 4th-storey allowance only applies to height precincts 1. My suggested wording for this policy is follows, which is simply just including a number at the very end of the policy wording. Overall, I believe there is strong justification to include Howick Street within the Wanaka height precinct. I support Ms Jones' recommendation that this is a second height precinct with a 10 to 12 metre, with a height limit 10 to 12 metres that will achieve well-designed three-storey building outcomes. In my view, this outcome aligns with the key principles and provisions of both the strategic direction and Wanaka Town Centre chapters of the PDP. In particular, objective 3.2.1.1 and the following policies, 3.2.1.1.1 and 3.2.1.1.3 of the strategic direction chapter that encourages a planning framework that enables quality development and enhancement of the district's commercial centres as the key commercial hubs of the district. I also consider this change aligns with objective 13.2.4 and associated policies where new developments are encouraged to achieve high quality urban design outcomes that respond to the town's built character and sense of place. I'm happy to answer any questions from the panel.
Good, thank you. Paragraph 1.6 of your summary, and also you refer to the same point in your principal evidence. I wanted to better understand how you went about assessing any effects in terms of views or interruption of views, given the position you've adopted in terms of building heights.
I think in terms of my primary evidence, I state that there is undoubtedly to be a reduction in views, probably particular from the upper end of Wanaka. And that's just simply the fact that we're potentially going to see buildings on the basis of where we're at now in terms of the 10 to 12 metre height limit, which are 2 metres higher, and I think undoubtedly additional 2 metres you potentially will lose some of the mountaintops and thin areas along Howick Street. But the view that I've taken is that, as a whole, within the central Wanaka area, it's not a destination in terms of views, and the view shafts through the town centre will be maintained to the lake, and then all of a sudden when you're in front of the town centre along Ardmore Street here, you've got unparalleled views. So I think my view is that any potential effect from the increased height limit on views should not outweigh the potential design implications which this height limit will achieve in terms of good design outcomes.
So you're weighing up good design outcomes against loss of view.
Correct. But I don't think the loss of views is this significant in the context of the town centre zone.
Okay. And what about from the perspective of residential occupants, the effect on them of the increased heights in the along the Howick Street?
The only potential effect, in my view, sits on the southern side of Brownson Street, which is proposed to be zoned a Wanaka Town Centre transition zone, which has a residential height limit. Based on an 8 to 10 metre height limit, I don't believe any of those buildings get any lake views, and there may be a very small reduction in mountain views from those sites, but it will be limited to that.
All right, so that's just on the one side, isn't it?
The back side of Brownson Street.
Yeah, and why will there not be any interruption of view from the other side of Brownson Street?
Those sites on the other side of Brownson Street are within the Wanaka Town Centre zone.
I see. Right. Okay. All right. Now, you've heard some of our conversation in terms of understanding the linkage between overall height and individual floor height, and whether or not there needs to be any particular provision for design outcomes in the wording of policies or objectives. Do you have a view about that?
Yeah, I do, and my view is that is there in this case. We've got any building within the Wanaka Town Centre zone, any new building, sorry, in the Wanaka Town Centre zone, will require resource consent, which is restricted discretion, I believe. It's restricted discretionary activity, and one of the key principles or matters of discretion within that rule is the impact on the street, which is to be guided by the Wanaka Town Centre character guidelines. Now, in the assessment of that resource consent, it will directly link back to some of the key objectives and policies which advocate good design outcomes within. So I think the policy framework and the rule framework of the proposed chapter already achieves that.
Okay. And just checking so I've understood it, the preference is for a 10 to 12 metre height approach.
Correct.
And also the status of the activity above 12 metres, you want that to be discretionary.
In this case, at a 10 to 12 metres, I'm comfortable that that can be non-compliant. My reference in terms of that non-compliant status relates to the 8 to 10 metre generic height limit as it currently stands, and particularly with a policy provision that actually encourages one to breach that rule if it's a good design outcome. I just don't think that to me, that doesn't work in practice. Why encourage a height, potential height breach, and then afford it a non-compliant status? To me, that's not efficient.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, I've managed to keep the wrong copy, so I haven't got my comments. It's very objective. My question came back to timing again, and you put a reasonable amount of weight on the fact that through the lakefront development proposed development plan, that there's to be a less focus on sort of having the entrance to Wanaka coming in along the front there and more of it being redirected down so that the other end can, the entrance. And I was trying to remember up to what date that proposed development plan was looking.
I understand it's been adopted by council.
Yeah.
And stage one is looking to go through consent processes at the moment, and the only reason I know this is on the plan of working on it for council. And that's the marina site. And then, so basically, there's budget for council for stage one of that project. And then I understand it rolls out from there in terms of annual plan processes.
For about the next 20 years.
I mean, obviously, there's been discussions around the treatment of the lake that I want to get for a long time, and that it hasn't come to fruition. But I think that, the fact that stage one is now underway is a good sign that it is going to start rolling out.
And I know I have another question, but I can't find it. I might come back to me. Thanks.
We have to be quick because I don't have any questions. I just will save you.
For a limited time only.
Yeah.
Paragraph 1.3 of the summary, you're there talking about the scope issue.
Yeah.
And I've just marked that. So you say that you understand there may be a question of scope around these changes. So what is your view? Instead of saying maybe, is there
a question? It was through a discussion I had actually with Mr. Jones after I put my evidence in.
Yep.
I'm not a lawyer, so the submission that I prepared on behalf of Gem Lake didn't specifically request a generic increase to their height limit. And I don't think that's where the scope issue sits, rather focused on the height precinct.
Okay.
It did seek, though, that the height precinct be extended in Howard Street,
correct?
And the scope that creates, therefore, is the height of
Howard Street.
Of the actual Wanaka height precinct.
Yes,
as it originally was,
correct.
And now you've agreed to an interim point.
Correct.
And the question is whether that...
Probably a question for a lawyer. I'm unsure on the case law around it.
Just keep it.
Yeah, at this stage, I'm comfortable that in terms of the outcomes, particularly where we've got to now, with the recommendation around the height precinct too, and hence why I haven't gone any further on the other matter.
Okay. That was the one matter I had noted to question you on the original evidence, but I see you dealt with it.
Okay.
No, thank you.
No. Sorry. All my other questions were to the matter that's been deferred to next year.
Okay.
And that you're substantive evidence. Yes.
Oh, in terms of the local shopping
centre. Okay. Yes.
Yep. Which is it? Yep.
Cool.
Thank you. No, no worries. Thank you very much.
Now, I'll adjourn to 10:43.